Well, praise the Lord. I've been arguing with the Lord. I want to hear somebody else. But I don't have anything resembling a sermon. I just have a thought that I can't shake. And I think it relates to a lot of things that we've talked about in the meeting, and especially the men's meeting this morning. I hope, if you didn't hear it, I hope you'll hear it online. I believe the Lord really blessed. And we had a lot of men who shared a breadth and depth of truth. And I praise God. I believe God's the author of this. I'll say this. I don't know that I'll be very long, but I don't want people to be intimidated to get up when I'm done. I don't mean that in an egotistical way, but I think sometimes that happens, and I want us to be free. To just, if the Lord gives us something, then we need to move in it. And I want to use an area of Scripture that's close to what we did last night, and actually close to part of what Jerry used in the meeting this morning. And that's from 1 Peter chapter 5. You know, we've made the point many times that there is a wonderful balance in the things of God. The foundation upon which we stand is entirely God. His sovereignty is a real thing. The reality that He has known us before the foundation of the earth is real. I mean, how can you, like someone said this morning, how can you even wrap your mind around that fact that here He is, as great as He is, and yet He, way ahead of time, knew every little thing about you and me, things we don't know about ourselves, and was able to plan and maneuver everything to come out the way it has. But knowing my need and inviting me to come just as I am, not to stay as I am, but so that He can make me into a new person. And praise God, what a foundation to stand upon. But, you know, as we often have said, it's not just a matter of coming and well, like we said last night, sitting in the back seat and going to sleep. There is a part that He desires that we play. And so that's a whole lot of what Peter brings to us. He's constantly referring to what God has provided and what God is doing and all of that, but always there are these exhortations as to what we're supposed to do. And of course, chapter 5 begins, I don't want to go through all the examples, but he encourages the elders as to how they're, what they're to do and how they're to watch over the sheep and not serve their own interests and lord it over them and all those kinds of things, but to be examples to the flock. And those who are younger to have a submissive spirit. You know, none of us needs to have a self-willed spirit seeking our own way. We always need to have a spirit that can be corrected. Praise God. If I miss the Lord tonight, I need someone to correct me. We need one another. And God has fixed it to where we aren't any of us a law unto ourselves. We need the Lord in one another. And there will always be times when we will have to humble ourselves to that. May God give us grace and the willingness to do that. But anyway, he's encouraging the younger ones to submit to the ones who have that watch care, that calling of God to watch over the assembly, to be the big brothers, is an expression that I have used in the past. But then he doesn't just leave that to the younger ones. He says, all of you, I'm in verse 5 here, I guess, all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. Okay, why? Because God opposes the proud. How many of you want to go out of here and say, God is going to oppose me? Well, wouldn't it be a good idea if we'd humble ourselves and just take a realistic place, an honest place, and say, Lord, I do in fact need you. Doesn't matter what I know or I think I know and think I can do, Lord, there's always areas where I need you to help me, and I need to come with that kind of a heart. And I believe God responds to that, because He doesn't only oppose the proud, He shows favor to the humble. So let's be in that place where God can show us favor. Thank God. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand. God knows what to do in every one of our lives. Don't we need to be saying, God, do what you got to do. even when I'm screaming and saying no and bucking, God, don't listen to me. Be like that missionary lady wrestling with an issue and said, God, don't give in to me. God, don't give in to me. That's quite a prayer when you think about it. Praise God. But that was actually witnessed by Watchman Nee, and that it made a big impact on his life, listening to that lady pray. All right, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand. He knows how to lift us up, but when he lifts us up, it's not so we can say, look at me. It's so that we can be lifted up to be an example and to be a reflection of the life of God within us. To be able to fulfill the purpose for which we were created in the first place. We weren't created to be proud, self-sufficient individuals. We were created to be, have all the uniqueness that he gave us. Not to be clones, but yet to be energized with the character and the energy of God himself. Praise God. That's the destiny. That's the only destiny that's going to work. Everything else is going to come to an end. All right? That he may lift you up at the proper time is another way to put that. Now, in the process, of course, Peter knew that we would have times when we were anxious because we can't see the future like God does, and so we see issues, and how's that going to work out? Oh, my God, I can't handle this. And so we have these moments when we feel anxiety. But how many of you think that he's saying, don't ever feel anxiety or something's wrong with you? We all do. But what we don't need to be doing is wallowing in that and living in that and saying, that's just my lot right now. Oh, God, I can't do anything about it. I'm so afraid. Oh, how he wants us to be able to handle that, hand that off to him. You know, I can't remember all the details, but I do remember a story about a bishop who was up half the night just praying and praying and praying and anxious about this and anxious about that. And finally, the Lord spoke to him and said, I'll tell you what, you let me stay up the rest of the night and deal with all this, and you go to sleep. You know, we need to be able to do that. We need to be able to put these things in his hands to the point where we can say, all right, God, it's on you. You're the one who's going to handle this. I don't know what to do, and I have no power to do it, but I'm trusting in you. That's a step of faith. That's what God is looking for. Because has he not promised to help us? That's what he says here. Cast all of your anxiety on him. Why? Because he cares. If we believe that he cares, then we can do that. If we're not quite sure, that's when we hang on and hang on. I've got to fix this. I've got to worry. You know, I'm not being spiritual. It's like I don't care. You know, we got all kinds of stupid ideas. And sorry, I didn't mean to use the word stupid. but foolish ideas. But anyway, that's an inside joke here. But praise the Lord. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up and cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Then is when he goes into this part about the enemy. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Now, he's talking to Christians. But here's the thing that we need to understand about the devil and the demons and whoever operates in his kingdom. He has no power over us that we don't give him. That's the issue. That's how he was tempting Jesus. You remember how Jesus came to the point when he was ready to go to the cross, and he said, the devil is coming, but he has no hold on me. There's nothing in there that he could get a hold of. I mean, he's probed every part of me, and in every place I have taken a stand of faith and trust in believing what God says and not what he says and not his that appeal to me. If the devil has got a hold on you, you gave it to him. And we need to come. If there's a hold in your life right now, you need to bring that. Recognize it honestly. Bring it to the Lord. Say, God, take this off of my life. I confess it. I need it. I need you to heal me. I need you, whatever it is, to break that hold. But Lord, I gave the devil this. I want to give it to you now so that it's no longer available to the devil to use. Such simple principles. But what we need to understand, don't be afraid the devil's just going to come and somehow overpower you. He will come and appeal, and if you yield, he will get a hold. and we will find ourselves hindered. But anyway, I think this is the area right here where I was, my mind was focused. Several times in the last, two or three weeks, I've had this come back to my mind, so maybe this is the time. But anyway, it says, resist him. But here's the key, standing firm. That was the phrase that just kind of jumped out at me. Do we not live in a time when we need to learn to stand firm? Because everything in the world, I'll tell you, we're in a time when everything that can be shaken will be shaken. Now, what is it that can be shaken? Is somebody who is part of this world, allowing the devil to blind their minds, following their own natural desires. Folks, if that is you, I don't care how religious you are, you will be shaken loose. We need to have be on the foundation that has been laid by Jesus Christ alone. God laid it, and he laid it in his Son. And he has given us a place to stand where all the heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word will not. That will stand. And, you know, we've been told, Jesus told people, said, don't be afraid of the people in the world. I'll tell you, you need to fear him. Because, you know, all they can do is kill us. When it comes down to it, all they can do is kill us. Do we lose if they do? No, we gain. Man, that's the ticket out of here. Praise God. So anyway, this idea of standing firm, because we certainly live in a time, as I've said, that there is going to be increased pressure upon God's people. And we're going to need to be able to stand firm against it. We're going to need something in here. We're going to need a conviction called faith that God plants in here, but we're going to have to use it when the time comes. We're going to be making choices. We talked a lot about that last night. But this is an area where the devil is going to attack God's people, and God is going to allow it. But I'll tell you, history has demonstrated for us that where God's people take the stand and believe God instead of what the devil says and the pressures that come on, God comes to their rescue. There is victory available for all of us. May God help us to get ready and to realize what we're facing in this world, but to realize who we have to look to in every instance. Standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. Now, this is a scripture Brother Jerry used this morning, an awesome scripture. And the God of all grace, he could have just said God, but the God of not just grace, which is that divine strength without which we are helpless, but it's all grace. I mean, how do you get any more than that? Do we have everything we need in him? Yes, the God who's not just a God, but the God of all grace. Grace is what he gives to us to make it possible for us to do what he asks us to do. Okay, the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ. Now, here's the part we don't like so much. After you have suffered a little while. I like that word little, don't you? You know, that's what Paul said. All our present sufferings, which are just for a moment, are working for us an exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, and so forth. You read that again in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. But it says, after you have suffered a little while, will himself, Jerry mentioned that word and emphasized that word this morning, himself. Now let's think about that just for a moment. This is the God of over all. This is the one who is all-powerful, all-knowing, outside of time, knew us before eternity, and yet he is keenly interested in you and tuned in to your needs. Just let that sink in. We never get in a place where God says, oops, I missed that. I didn't know that was going to happen. I was busy. I got so much on my plate. I just can't handle it all. God can handle everything. The same God who knows how many hairs are on your head right now has promised something very amazing. that God of all grace will himself. So there's something very personal in that. And what will he do? He will restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. Anybody need that? Praise God. To him be power forever and ever. Amen. You know, I thought of something else. Brother Matt this morning mentioned a movie that a few of us saw recently. And it was a movie actually made in 2016. I didn't realize that at the time. And it was based on the book that some of us read several years ago called The Insanity of God. Anybody remember that book? Wow, you need to go back and read it. And I think you ought to go and get the movie, too. It's available on Amazon and other places. But in any case, it was a testimony, the firsthand personal testimony of a man whose family went to East Africa, the first half of it, and they had an outreach into Somalia, which is one of the worst places in the world for Christians. They came to a place where every Christian they knew about was killed by the people there. But anyway, the Lord led him. For the second half of the book, it chronicled a trip where he just spent, I don't know, probably years, I guess, traveling from various places in the world and interviewing people who had lived under persecution and wanting to know, what's it like? How did the Lord help you? What did you experience? And every question that he could think of, even to the point of saying, was it worth it? You know, when you came through this, is Jesus worth it? What you went through, what you experienced. And over again, these powerful, powerful stories and testimonies. I wish I could remember every detail, but there's one that jumped out at me when I read the book, and it was powerful in the movie. And there was a man somewhere in Eastern Europe or Russia, I don't know which, it was a communist world. And he was arrested for his faith. And he went through hell, to say the least. They began to beat him and torture him and do everything under the sun to try to break him. But he had an interesting habit. Every morning, when the sun came up, he would turn to the east, stand up in his cell, and as the sun came up, he would sing what he called his morning song. And it was a song of praise and worship to God. And as he started doing that, the rest of the prisoners would mock and yell and just, you know, give him a pretty hard time. This was a big place. And as I recall the details, there's more than one story. I hope I'm not mixing them up. But he was so beat up at one time. If he wasn't, it was another man's story. But that they had a visitation where his son, whom he had encouraged before he went into prison, his son, his little boy, and his wife came to see him. He was so beat up that they literally, soldiers carried him, laid him on a table, and it was like all he could do was lay there. And his little boy said, "Daddy, I am so proud of you." Whoa. You think of the conviction and the faith to stand under those kind of conditions. But this went on for 17 years, as I recall. Some of you can correct my memory on the story, but there came a point where they were determined to break this man. And what they did was to come up with a ruse. They found a woman somewhere in the prison, who knows where they got her, but they dressed her up in some of his wife's clothes, dragged her past his cell with the face turned away, so he had every reason to think, "That's my wife." And then for about 3 days, tortured her and then dragged the body back in front of his cell. You know, folks, we can talk about standing, but every one of us can get to a place where we've just run out of whatever it takes. And he was broken to the point where they wanted him to sign a document renouncing Christ on the one hand and admitting that he was a Western agent, a spy. Said, "If you do that, we'll let you go." He said, "Okay, bring it in the morning, I'll sign it." And he was just broken. The next morning, they came in and his spine was straight, and he said, "There's no way I'm going to sign anything like that." What happened? During the night, the Lord allowed me to hear my wife and my son praying for me. I heard their voices praying for me. You know, there's a God who can come at our worst, weakest moment and give us what we need. Praise God. I mean, what a testimony to hear, to have somebody in that low a place, and yet God didn't walk away, but enabled him supernaturally to hear his family praying for him. And he got up and he stiffened his spine, and no way am I going to sign that. And so the consequence was they marched him, soldiers marched him out of the cell, pointed out to a post in the yard, said, "We're going to fasten you to that and you are going to die." And the point was in front of everybody. And as they were marching him out, all of a sudden, that entire, I have to control myself here, that entire prison, every prisoner, stood on their feet with their arms raised toward the east. And in unison, they sang that man's song. Whew. Wow. And the guard just stuck back. Who are you? What a witness. What a powerful witness that God can give, that he is real and he is more powerful than anyone. Obviously, he lived. There wasn't anything they could do eventually, but let him go. And he went back to his family and was able to give this testimony of what God had done. Over and over, there were stories like that where he went to a place that was so remote in China that the people there were worshiping God, and he was able to get with a group of them behind compound walls, and the walls of a compound. And in the process, he wanted to interview them, but they wanted to interview him at one point. And they asked him, "Are there any Christians in other parts of the world? Has Jesus only come to China?" I mean, that was how isolated they were. They were so cut off from everything that they wondered, is Jesus anywhere else but here? Whew. And he began to tell them. And he told them what had happened in Somalia, among other things. And he went to bed and got up the next morning, and he heard all this cacophony going on, this sound. He wondered, "Oh my God, they found us. What's going on?" He went out there and he found the Christians just on their faces praying. And he couldn't understand much, but he could understand the word Somalia. These Chinese believers were just crying out for the people in Somalia. Folks, we got brothers and sisters in this world who know what this standing firm means. I believe with all my heart, things will not stay the same in this country. Can you not see the handwriting on the wall? We're going to have something besides Sunday morning religion. We're going to have a conviction that when those times come, we're going to know that, yeah, we're going to have to stand. I don't know what we're going to have to endure. But there is a God who will take a personal interest in you and you and you and me when those times come. He himself will give us the strength. Think of the principle of faith. Look at the 11th chapter of Hebrews. That's what it's all about. It's about people that were placed in every kind of situation. Sometimes they won magnificent victories. Other times they laid down their lives. But in every case, they were placed in a situation where they had a choice. What am I going to do? Am I going to believe what God says? And am I going to step out and make this my stand no matter what the consequences? Or am I going to just give in? That's where we're at, folks. And may God give us that kind of a conviction in our hearts, because it's going to come down to that. Faith is a real thing. The devil's power is very real. But every time the Lord allows the devil to do something, and he's going to allow him. He's allowing him right now. Look at the world around you. Look at the ideas that people have that we think there must be another planet to believe that. We're living in an hour when there is strong delusion in the land. You know why that happens? You know why they have strong delusion? because there has been a rejection of truth. And there comes a time when the Lord steps back, and what is left but the devil's ideas that cater to human nature, and people are going to lay hold of that, and they're going to believe something with every fiber of their being, but it's a lie that will bring them to destruction. But oh, I'll tell you, the power of Jesus Christ is greater. He absolutely ascended when he was raised from the dead. He didn't stay there. He was ascended to a throne. He said, "All authority is given to me in heaven and in earth." That's how we could go, therefore. That's how we could be, his people in a broken world. But we're going to need the reality of what we talk about. Theology won't get us through. We're going to need Jesus. We're going to need God invading our lives and our space and giving us that kind of conviction when we're faced with times when we're going to have to take a stand. May God give us that grace. Give us the wisdom to know what to do. I tell you, we have an awesome God that we serve. Praise the Lord. I had no idea I was going to talk this long, but praise the Lord. Stand firm in the faith. You know, faith is not just something we believe in our heads. It wasn't enough for Abraham, for example, just to say, "Okay, God, I believe you." Believing meant obedience to what God said. It wasn't just, "I'm going to make a great nation out of you." It's leave your homeland, leave your family, go to a land that I will show you. Not here's the roadmap and here's the plan. Just walk by faith. Just trust me. Put your life in my hands. And the only way that Abraham could possess the promise that was given to him was to go. He had to be willing to step out, to take an action. That's the balance. God will do everything else if we will be willing to do what he says do. And look to him and believe that as we do what we're supposed to do, he will do what he has promised. And God is going to bring his people through. That's the promise. The God of all grace who called you. How did we get into this position? God intervened. If you know the Lord, God intervened in your life. There's not a person here who would ever reach out to God if God didn't do it first. Oh, praise God. Why would he do that? Why would a God who maintains the universe care about me? But he did. And he cares about you too. Oh, praise God. But anyway, the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you've suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. I feel like I need to drop this in because, you know, last night I was talking about the necessity of suffering to get rid of the hold that the old nature has on us. I don't want to paint a picture that we're supposed to live a life of misery in order to accomplish anything. That's not the point. Because there is a kind of joy and a peace in the midst of whatever God puts us through that is so much better than anything the world can ever offer. There's plenty of joy and peace and happiness right here. But it doesn't come by pleasing this old nature. It comes from looking to God and doing what he says. So don't let the devil tell you, "Oh, this is calling on you to die and all and suffer so you can do some good." Well, yeah, there is a saying no to the old nature, but oh, there's a joy that comes with that. There's a peace that passes all understanding when we just do things God's way. He gives it all this. We have the joy of the Lord right here. We can have it and rejoice in him. And even when there are tears sometimes, we can have his peace and know that he's real in the midst of it. And then he brings us through and there are seasons of refreshing and joy. I tell you, I'd rather be in a fire with him than anywhere else. You think about the three Hebrew children who were put in the fire and what God did to demonstrate his power in that generation. Where would you rather be, standing next to Nebuchadnezzar or being in the being in the fire with them and the Lord in there walking around. Can you imagine what that would have been like? Wow. I tell you, we have an awesome God. Praise the Lord. Like I said, I had no idea I was going to say all this, but I just had that one thought that I couldn't get out of my head, standing firm. If anything God is looking for from us coming out of this is not just to take hold of the ideas, but to absolutely ask God to so plant His Spirit, plant His truth in our hearts that we will be unmovable. Be steadfast, unmovable in the Lord. I think it was in 1 Corinthians 15, something like that. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, for you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That's the thing that God is looking for. That's what faith is. When faith gets challenged, that's when we need to say, God, give me the strength to stand firm. Lord, this is what the devil is telling me, but here's what you say. I'm going to believe this, and I'm going to step out on that. And I'm trusting you to be with me and help me to do it. And you know God is going to do that, isn't he? Praise God. He's not going to look at you and say, well, yeah, so-and-so down the road, they're okay, but I don't know about you. You're just constantly messing up. You just figure it out yourself. God's not doing that. If we will just come in all of our need, all of our weakness, and put it all in his hands and look to him and obey him, trust him, he does the rest. What an awesome salvation. What an awesome Savior we have. Praise God. So I guess that's the thought. I will sit down, but may God give us the grace in this hour, knowing we may have a day when we're facing some of the things that we hear about. May God give us the grace to stand firm and say, Jesus is Lord. I don't care what you say and how you want me to go along with your agenda. I'm serving God. Jesus is on the throne. I know how this turns out. Whatever happens in the meantime, I'm in his hands, not yours, ultimately. And I'm trusting in him. Praise God.
I thank God for this word of encouragement tonight and for what he's given us all week. Tell you what, it's true. We don't live by bread alone, but it's by the words that come out of his mouth. That's what sustains us. It's what keeps us going, and he has given us a lot to take with us this week, and I appreciate it. Just thinking, you know, as Phil was talking about some of these different situations you hear about, just thinking, you know, God's been at this business of leading his people through this world, what we would call a long time. With God, a day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years is a day. But what we would call a long time, he's been at this a long time. He knows how to bring his people through all kinds of situations. Desert wildernesses and being attacked by foreign enemies and being taken off and captive into foreign countries and every situation we can think of, he has led his people through all throughout the ages, and he is not going to fail us now, no matter what comes our way. I believe he's given us that promise that he promised he'd be with us till the end of the age, didn't he? He wants us to be able to trust him, and I think he's ministering the faith to do that in a deeper way and to be participating in what he's doing through all these things. It wants us to be to understand and not be like the guy I saw in the little comic, made me laugh when I saw it, this little comic strip, and it was like this guy had, you know, he was in heaven and he and Jesus were looking back over his life, you know, and Jesus was saying to him the words we know so well from the little poem, you know, there where you see the one set of footprints, that's where I carried you. You know, and it goes over to the next panel and he says, and over there where you see all those marks in the sand, that's where I had to drag you kicking and screaming. I think he's trying to get a little bit of the kicking and screaming out of us so that we can cooperate, be workers together with him in what he's doing. Because I tell you what, he is faithful. Praise God. That scripture there that was referred to in 2 Corinthians 4, the end of it there, where Paul's talking about our momentary afflictions are working for us an eternal glory. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? Something that's temporary is producing something that's eternal. Only God can do that. And that's what he's doing for us. I tell you what, I am blessed and reminded this week of just how blessed we are to be in his hands. Praise God.